studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have nothing up. I've done nothing.
All right.
I've got nothing to tell you.
Oh.
Live radio. I'm Robin, and there's that other guy over there. Of course, I know you all just tuned into Oregon Updates just to hear me.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to No Summer Summer.
No Summer Summer. Yeah. We had about a week of it, and then everything is getting moist and rainy, and my poor motor.
We really haven't had summer. We haven't had, you know, here in Cottage Grove, I mean, we're, 20 miles south of you, and we have much better weather than you do. But but it's been nothing this summer. We've had no warm weather. I don't think we've had a day with over 90-degree weather, and when I first moved down here, 10 years ago. Anyway, some time ago, we had 100-degree weather days, and we're not getting those this summer at all. It's just amazing. I mean, I'm not really complaining in a way, because I like the cooler weather myself, so I'm quite happy with it. But it's just been...
I wouldn't say it's been raining so much here, but my motorhome, which came from North Dakota, is now looking like a chia pet.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, I have a car sitting out there that I don't drive much, and it's getting there. What I've got a problem with is hornets, bees that for some reason or other decide to build nests inside the car. Not in the car, but like under the hood and places like that. So if I open the hood to look at the engine, I'm going to be attacked, probably. I don't know. Just what I need.
Most people have horsepower under the hood. You just got bee power.
Hey, you know, it might be better, because it would make, you know, they flap their wings, and it could raise a car right off the ground and make for really good mileage.
Are you ready for this one?
What's that?
All right, consider yourself warned. You have a honey of a vehicle.
Okay. Except that I think it's wasps, and I don't think they do honey. I don't know. I'm not that familiar with bees. I just stay away from that, if possible, entirely, is what I do. I know we've had this house has always had them all around the house. We spray around the house to get rid of them. But and I have a van, or had a van anyway, and they used to get in between the door and the inside. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but you open the door and there's a place there that's no man's land, turned into bee land. Yeah. Anyway,
wait,
so much for the weather.
Welcome to Oregon Update, people who are wondering what this is. And, if you would like to join us today, you may do so. We are live right now, from broadcasting live from Eugene, Oregon. You can call us right now at 646-721-9887. You can join us in the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, or you can join us in our very own little chat room, which does not require any type of signing up or anything else. Just use your imagination for a username at krbnradio.com. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook. You can podcast us from your iPad. And, of course, what we always like is to receive emails, which you can do so at talk@krbnradio.com.
Prefer, if you could, you know, do it live. 646-721. Hello. 9887. 646-721-9887. That's the easy number to call.
Easy number to call. Now, today's topic today is one of our favorite ones, which is, of course, the Almighty President. And I want to kind of go off the topic just a little bit. And kind of tell you about an article I saw today. This was about they're talking about they'd like to raise more taxes on the rich. And this college student, I think it's from UC Berkeley or one of those, it's a California college, put together a video where he went around asking his fellow classmates, would you be willing to share your GPA with people that are having trouble getting a higher GPA? Kind of similar to the millionaires and billionaires, you know, same logic about would you be willing to pay more taxes versus people that aren't millionaires and billionaires. And unanimously, people said, no, I earned my GPA. I'm not going to give GPA points to students that don't deserve it. It's not fair. I work for what I have.
You know, and I agree with that. Excuse me. I agree with that philosophy, except that what is taking place, and I don't know. I somehow or another we're talking apples and oranges with this whole bit. The problem being, they're not paying as much percentage wise as the average Joe Blow is. They've figured out ways to get around paying their taxes, and so they're not paying, if any at all, they're paying very, very little. I don't mind them not paying more. I don't think we should do that. I disagree with that. But I do think they should pay their fair share. So if I'm paying, you know, 20% of my income in taxes, I think they should be required to pay about that same amount of money.
Yeah, like black tax. By the way, correction, it's not UC Berkeley. It's University of California, Mercer.
Mercer,
Lisa says.
I don't even know where that is.
I don't either, so correction on my part, sorry. But the point is, watching the video, you know, the shock on the student's face, like, I ain't gonna, you know, I worked hard for my 4.0. It's a very, very good analogy to make people think.
I agree. It's an excellent analogy. I mean, because it is true. Just because a person has worked hard and has made a lot of money or saved their money, however you want to put it, because that's what some of them do in order to get rich. They just save it. But the point is, they did that. They worked at that. They spent their time at that. And why should they be punished for doing that? And that's basically what you're doing. If you're charging them more money, more taxes than other people, then you're punishing them for working hard, and I disagree with that, even though it would probably help me because I don't have any money. but there in this flat tax thing, I don't know. That would be such a difficult thing to institute and to make it happen, and I don't see it happening for a long time. But that gets me into this Ron Paul thing, and that's another story. Unless we're ready to go to that story, because I'm furious about that.
Well, you're being the fact that you're chewing up the cushion on the microphone.
Yeah, really.
Over the table. Why don't you go ahead and start on that?
Well, the thing is, we had this Ames, Iowa straw poll on Saturday, right? Excuse me. And the thing that happened is of course, now I've got to preface this by saying that the Ames, Iowa straw poll is actually a big farce. It means virtually nothing almost because of the simple fact that the candidates pay people to vote for them in that straw poll. They actually have buses that said that they'll put you on, and before they'll put you on the bus to take you to Iowa, you have to sign a little thing that says you will vote for them when you get there. They even buy little trinkets for you, and they feed you, and they do all this kind of stuff in order to get you there to vote. Now, that's the standard procedure, by the way. But in this particular case, Mitt Romney, who has been running high on the list, if not top of almost every list that you see, did not pay anybody to go there. He did not spend a dime on Iowa. And on the other hand, people like Tim Pawlenty spent over $1 million in Iowa to get votes. Now, the actual voting came out. Michelle Bachmann won. She did spend money to get her votes. Ron Paul came out second. And that's where I get all upset. He came out second. I mean, he was less than 200 votes away from Michelle Bachmann. And they together, they were a long way. I mean, Pawlenty came in third, and he was like half of the votes that anybody else had. But what gets to me is Ron Paul came in second with 27.7% of the vote. Michelle Bachmann came in first with 28.6. I mean, and everybody just shelves Ron Paul. They say, well, he can't win, so we're not going to talk about him. It's no big thing because he can't win. That's not true. If you sit back and look at what Ron Paul has been doing, he has been advocating the same things for years now, by like 8 years or 10 years now. He's been talking about the same thing. He's been pushing the same facts and the same ideas. And he's the only one. Half of what he's been talking about over the years has come to pass. Our economy is falling on its face. All kinds of things are happening in our country. And these are the things he said were going to happen. And they are happening. And yet, we're tabling him. We're saying he can't win. The Republicans had better get their act together and pay attention to what's going on. Ron Paul, I think at this point, could win. And I would love to see it happen. It would probably shake everybody up and just drive everybody batty. But I would love to see that take place because he could certainly do a better job than what's being done now. Although you would have to hang under your saddle, because I think he would shake things up a little, or at least he would try. But he has enough common sense to do it a little bit at a time and to be able to. And he's capable of talking well enough that he could explain it before he does it. So I don't think it would be as bad as people think it would be. But I get so upset that they just ignore him. Mitt Romney only had 3.4% of that straw poll, but I understand why. He did not spend a dime to get any votes there, which is fine. He didn't go there. He didn't spend time there. He did go there, I think, on the day or something like that, or the day before or something. But and then, of course, the one that really upsets me is Rick Perry. He didn't go there. He didn't even enter the race until that day. And because he did enter the race that day, he got a whole lot of attention. He got 718 write-in votes, which was very good. But I don't know if I accept what he has to say. Although I will have to admit, I did go and look, because if you follow what's going on in the news, you saw Rick Perry do a campaign speech, and basically he used the word treason. But I don't see any problem with that myself. The way he used it was fine, and I think it's okay. The thing I did go look at is because he keeps talking about the fact that he can create jobs. He can do the thing with the jobs thing. So I went and looked at Texas to see what, because, you know, he's the one who's doing the job in Texas, supposedly. And Texas unemployment rate is way down. Texas unemployment rate is only 8.2% at this particular point. And you got to understand, too, that the federal government has manipulated the numbers, and I think probably due to our delightful president, but has manipulated the numbers to make our federal unemployment rate look better than it is. If you don't manipulate the numbers, the federal unemployment rate is really, really high.
Well, if I can chime in real quick.
Yeah.
President Obama, in his speech the other day, was stating that things are better since he took office. And I think the guy is in just total denial, is my opinion. I mean, now, and when you're talking about jobs, you know, President Obama, he's a used car salesman.
Mm-hmm.
Because he told everybody what they wanted to hear, and now he's starting another, I don't have it in front of me, job creation department?
No, he's not. No, he's not. I don't know which speech you watched, but I watched the interview that he did on TV. I think it was CNN. And he flat out said, no, I'm not starting a Department of Jobs. That's just simply not happening. That's rumor entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not doing that. As far as when they asked him about how things were going, he did admit to the fact that things are not going as well as they were before he went into office. I mean, there were problems there, and there are problems there. That was, because see, that's when he was being talked to one-on-one. I mean, he was being asked specific questions, and it's kind of hard to lie point blank when you got a specific question being asked. So, but it's he didn't come out fair. I didn't think he fared very well on the interview when I watched it. It was a Wolf Blitzer, I guess it was, on CNN that was talking to him. I'm not sure I like the way Wolf Blitzer does his interviews, because he tries to bully people into answers. And I will have to give Obama credit. He wouldn't bully. He didn't bully at all. He gave his answers. But he also didn't lie nearly as much as he does when he's just out there talking to us. And that was very apparent.
Uh-huh. So. Speaking of getting in trouble, there's a news article that came out from USA Today about an hour ago. With Michelle Obama being on her health kick and trying to convince everybody else to live the way she wants to live, this article is with Barack on the road. He's hitting the junk food big time.
Yeah.
There's a picture of him downing an ice cream cone, and you know he's having eggs and toast and all bunch of treats, and it's like, you know, while the cat's away.
Yeah, really. Well, I don't mind that. I suppose he doesn't seem to have too much of a problem with being overweight. So, you know, some people can eat lots and lots of things, and some people can't. So,
well, I guess what annoys me is, like, well, I don't know Michelle's background as far as nutrition goes. It just kind of annoys me that. Okay, it's okay if somebody can come out and say, you know, maybe we should eat better. Okay, great, fine. But to come out and try to push to pass different laws and to force you and I mean, if I want my McDonald's French fries, I'm having my McDonald's French fries, trans fat or not.
Well, see, and I agree with that. That's totally true. And the simple fact of the matter is, it's not just that. That's the government is trying to do that in every place. That's why we've got to change, because that's the philosophy of the Democrats, and especially specifically the Obamas that's exactly what they want to do. The bigger they can get, grow the government, the better off they are. And I'm with you. I don't like to be told how to take care of myself. I mean, this old crap about, you know, they're overweight, so they're costing us more money medical care. That's not true, you know. If you're overweight and you have to go in to have something done, you pay for it. It's not the government paying for it, usually.
Yeah, I don't need anybody telling me how to do my health.
Really?
Well, speaking of health here, this portion of the program is sponsored by Dancing Dog Cookies. I'm going to roll the promo.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him, because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, check them out. They're revising their website right now, but send them a note. Let them know that you heard about them here on Oregon Update, and they'd be glad to hear from you.
Really? Really?
They will. I
promise. Good. Glad to hear that. I see how well your dog dances. Maybe you should take some pictures of your dog dancing.
Yeah. And send them pictures. Absolutely.
That would be interesting. Maybe you could get them on America's Funniest Home Videos. So you never go. Can't tell. That could be real lucrative if you win.
If you win. But no, poor President Obama. I mean, he's I don't know. I'm thinking that, well, he's really in a state of denial, and Like, for example, he's really upset that the Obamacare has been voted down or termed unconstitutional by the 11th Circuit Court. And, of course, the White House vows to fight that. The fact that the S&P had downgraded the U.S. credit rating from AAA to AA, and, of course, he's saying, in my opinion, we are still AAA. Okay, great. In my opinion, I'm going to tell Chase and Discover and all those type of people, sure, I filed bankruptcy last year, but as far as I'm concerned, I still have an 800 credit score.
Mm-hmm. Well, the simple fact of the matter is that it's not just us. We should not be paying real close attention to what's going on in the United States right now, because right now, what's going on in the rest of the world is going to be real important to us in the next few weeks, because right now we've got, what, Spain, France, Italy, Portugal, Hungary, and Greece that are all failing. And you want to talk about somebody with less than AAA credit ratings, I think we're going to have real problems with that. Germany is the one big stalwart, staunch, always in good shape country in Europe, and basically propping up the rest of Europe. And they're talking right now about putting together a tax. It's like a sales tax is basically what it's like, and they're saying that it should be for everybody, and in order to bring in more money, and so if they're talking about it, you can bet your bottom dollar we're going to be talking about it before too long too. There's going to be a change in our taxes and some increases in our taxes. And we sit there and we hear of everybody. I think we are one of the few countries that could actually cut down on our spending and equalize it out and come up with a balanced budget. But I don't know if the other countries, some of them, have gotten themselves so far in they can't do it.
Well, until we, like, just back home here, until we get our spending under control, you can't keep going the same old, same old. In fact, here's a question I'll throw out to you. You know, the president is out doing his campaigning, and he's doing it in this big, huge, as somebody says, Darth Vader helmet bus. It's the government's favorite color, which is jet black, at a cost of $1 million for the bus. But the question is that should the taxpayers be paying for the president to go out and campaign?
We already have.
Well, I know we have, but should we be doing it?
No, we shouldn't. But see, that's the thing he's doing. We're fighting wars that he says are not wars. Now he's campaigning, and he says he's not campaigning. He's just getting out and talking to the people. Well, what do you think campaigning is? Okay. The thing that upsets me about this $1 million bus is, why do we need a bus? I mean, we've got 50 to 100 vehicles sitting around doing nothing now. We've got Air Force One and Two sitting around doing nothing now. And why do we need a bus? I just don't think we need to keep buying things. That's typical Obama. That's what he does. He buys things. He spends money. And that's what he wants to have more money to do, spend it. And that's the whole point of why we've got to make him a one-term president. It's just as simple as that. Since we don't have, and I'm more and more going along with you that we need to have a way of removing somebody from office. I haven't quite figured out how to do it, because you don't want to make it too easy, because then we're never going to have a full office. But I really do think we need to come up with some reforms in how long people, because we've got to stop this campaigning thing. As soon as you get into office, you immediately start spending your time trying to get back into office. And that's what we've got to stop. So one term, everybody should be one term. Absolutely everyone should be one term, so that you get there, you can do what you want to do and accomplish what you want to accomplish, and then get the hell out. And if you want to go back and, run again a term later, maybe you can go back in again a second time, but there'd be a full term apart. And there's none of this running for office and trying to raise money while you're in the office.
kind of like what's happened in Oregon here. Our new governor, who was a former two-term governor, then we had a governor in between him, good old Ted Taxon Gouge me. With Kitzhammer back in office, he's doing a completely different approach because he got a chance to take a break from it and kind of, I'm guessing, kind of taking a new perspective.
Well, one of the things is he's got the experience too. You know, you don't know what you're getting into until you get into it. Once you've been there and done it for a while and realize what it is, you have a much better idea of what to do if you get in it again.
Right. And speaking of experience, this question came up on one of the local talk shows the other day. Is, do you want somebody that has political experience or real life experience to be in the office of president?
Well, I think you have to decide what is political experience. If you mean political experience, I mean politics. If you look at the equal definition of politics, is liars. You know, politics and lying go hand in hand. So no, I don't want political experience to mean anything or to be good for anything. I think we should be giving the people the truth. And again, that gets back to Ron Paul. Ron Paul has kept on subject and on target all the time he's been in there. He's modified and quieted down a little bit because when he was a libertarian, he was really, you know, his ideas were still the same, but they're a lot more radical. He's had a lot more time to explain them to everybody, so maybe it's just a little easier for us to accept them. But we need to have people who don't lie to us. And that's one of the things. That's why we had so many people changed in this last election, was because we're trying to get people in there who aren't lying to us. And then people still think that a lot of these new people that have been elected are not doing what they said. But I think most of them are trying to. Once the point is, you get in there, you get into the offices, these high offices anyway, you get in there and you find out that you don't know what takes place. There are things that you can do, and there are things that you can't do, and you weren't aware of that until you actually got into the office and see what's going on. So that's the thing we've got to do. So I don't know that you can really prepare for that. The only thing you could prepare for that is like somebody who's been in the Senate for a long time, like Newt Gingrich or somebody like that. They would be a little more prepared because they've been there and watched it happening all along. So they'd be more prepared than anybody else. But that's about the only people who would be.
Right. Well, and you would think, too, I mean, with a recession and, you know, well, with a recession and as the government's saying that, you know, we came out of the recession, things are getting better. Well, we're back in the recession again. That they'd be working more towards, as I'm trying to find my words here, instead of talking about the job package now and focusing on jobs now, why weren't they focusing on it more about a year or two ago? I mean, even just like that stupid stimulus package, for example. And I remember that, and I wish I had the soundbite for it, that the president said that we were going to be monitoring the spending that the states are going to be doing for the stimulus package, and is not going to go for these self-centered programs that they're going to do. The whole point was to create jobs. And we all know that there's a huge list out there of where the money got wasted at.
Well, and the thing is, we created government jobs, and that's not what we need to do. We need to create civilian jobs because those are the ones that last. Government jobs are only a temporary thing. I mean, you go out and build a freeway, and then you're done.
Right, exactly.
And we need to, you know, we've got to create more businesses, and we've got to create permanent jobs. And they're got to be, see, there are some major things that have to be changed in our country before we can do this, for the simple fact that our wages are too high, like it or not, and I know nobody wants to accept that, and nobody would like to have their wages cut, but our wages in this country are way too high. You can't compete with products built in this country if you've spent that much money to build them, because you can go so many other places and build them for a quarter of that amount of money or less. So you, in order for us to be competitive in the world, we've got to change how we pay things and make it a little more even, because we've got an awful lot of people who are making, I don't know what the cutoff point is, but way over. For example, all of our government employees are making almost twice as much money as the civilian employees that are equal in position. And then they have even better, with when you throw in benefits, they're making even more money. So we've got to be a little more careful about, the government has got to sit back and be more careful about what's going on. And then of course, you got to look into the unions and start controlling the unions a little bit instead of them controlling us. That's what's happened. We've kowtowed, our government has kowtowed to the unions so far that they're also out of hand. So the two things, that's the two things that are running the price of any product that's made in America out of sight.
Well, and they want to talk about raising taxes on the rich. Well, that's going to make it even harder for businesses to get started, you know, the bottom line. And that's part of the reason why everything's going overseas, is that
exactly
so much. By the time you, like even in Eugene here, I mean, to open up a business here in Eugene versus going across the river to Springfield, the permit process is expensive and ridiculous.
Yeah, you've got to consider what your next door neighbor is doing. And in the United States, we don't take to consideration, I don't know why, what's happening in Mexico. So consequently, an awful lot of our businesses are now in Mexico. A lot of our products are being manufactured in Mexico. Look at all the electronics products that are being manufactured in Mexico. And I would suppose that it's if it wasn't for the fact that we're using illegal Mexican workers, it would be a lot cheaper to grow things in Mexico too. So, but that brings in another problem that all along the way is that as long as we're going to have prices and working conditions the way they are, we're going to have huge numbers of illegal aliens or Mexicans or whomever. I guess they're not all from Mexico. They're from South America and all over the place. But they're going to be coming here illegally and working here, and because they can make more money, even as poorly as they're treated, than they can in their own country.
Oh, yeah. And then ask yourself the question, why are employers hiring them? Well, one example that I read was that if you took a $10 an hour job and paid it to a U.S. citizen, by the time you get through paying FICA and all the other matching that you have to do and work comp, that $10 an hour employee became a $12 to $14 an hour employee, where you hire somebody under the table for $10. That's all you're out, $10.
And not only that, usually for that $10 job, you can hire them for $7 or $6. You don't even have to pay them the $10.
Yeah. Chances are you can hire, it's a 2-to-3 ratio, basically, when you think about it. But then it becomes to the point is, at what point does the government just basically become too expensive, especially compared to what we're getting back out of it?
Well, that's the thing we have to do right off the bat, is we do have to just stop spending the money. That's just all there is. We have to, and that brings us to this 12-member supergroup that Obama put together again now. And why does he do that? He's done this once and just totally tabled what their results were and counted them out. And so now he's doing it again. I'm sure it's because he thinks he can control just 12 members. He can bully them into doing what he wants done or thinking the way he wants. And maybe, I don't know who picks this 12-member group. I think it's probably him at this particular point, in which case he's picking specific people that probably agree with what he thinks. And then he's, you know, what is he going to do with this? It's not going to pass the House if they do something with it, unless it goes along with the people's choice. And the people's choice at this time, I really do believe they don't want us to spend more than we take in, and they don't want us to raise taxes to take in more. So, you know,
yeah,
what's left is
taxes. Raising taxes only helps fund the government.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
It does not create jobs. It does not directly, well, I was going to say directly help us, but, you know, if government would put it back into their primary services, like, well, like police, fire, I would think that'd be the on the top of the list of things that they would be concerned about, but that's usually the first thing to go.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The police and emergency people have been the first thing to go in the, in Lane County. I don't know if that's the same everywhere or not, but probably is. It's just that it's really sad that we can't just control our spending, because that's believe it or not, the easiest way. And of course, where we're spending it is a bigger thing, too, because we're spending huge amounts of money propping up the rest of the world, and we've been doing it to try to control the rest of the world, and that's not what we should be doing. We should not be the world's policeman or the world's anything. We should be back there worrying more.
Well, let me get back to the stimulus here real quick. I'm reading a list that U.S. Senator Tom Coburn put together, the top 100 examples of where the stimulus money went to. And I'll just read a couple items here real quick and bring up a point. But there's, for example, $3.4 million for a wildlife equal passage in Florida to take animals safely underneath a roadway. Several grants for cities like the town of Union, New York, encouraged to spend a little over $500,000 grant it didn't request. We got $500,000 to refurbish a skateboard park, $600,000 to build a skateboard park. Oregon will spend $4.2 million to raise railroad tracks 18 inches. Also, Tualatin plans to spend $2.5 million for a train horn free zone. Just to some examples about the checks and balances of how the money's gone. Yeah, sure, a lot of that in comparison to trillions of dollars doesn't seem like much, but it all adds up. But the whole point I'm making is that if they can't regulate or spend their money wisely on this, like they did on the stimulus, you know, we're going to, you know, make sure that the states don't spend it frivolously and it's going to do what we want to do to create jobs. How we know that even if Obama, which I hope doesn't happen, does get elected again, is going to follow through with the checks and balances to get us back on track?
We have no idea. We have no idea. And I, as a matter of fact, the indications are, in my opinion, that he is not going to, because basically everything he tries to do, he's trying to write himself an open-faced check where he can put anything in he wants to. Because every time he tries to come up with a plan, a budget plan or anything else, it's just an outline so that he can fill in whatever he wants it to be. He will not accept. See, anybody who has put down in writing in actual terms what's supposed to be done and what's not supposed to be done, how what you're supposed to spend and what you're not supposed to spend, there have been two and possibly three bills and such things that have been passed by the House, and he won't even accept them. I don't know if he even looks at them, because he has to, you know, they have specific numbers in them. He'll only accept something that comes to him as an outline so that he can fill in the numbers later. And of course, then, you know, we as citizens are screwed then. We just have to go along with it. And I don't want to go along with it. I don't accept that he will do the right thing. I mean, his idea of the right thing and my idea of the right thing are radically different, and I don't want to tell you how to spend what and when where, other than the fact that we've got to balance it out, and that's the name of the game. The word balanced, income and outgo, that's what's got to happen.
Well, that gets back to what I was saying earlier about experience. I mean, when Trump threw his hat in the ring, or at least hinted he was going to, and played America for fools, a lot of people were very excited, because, like him or not, at least Trump has experience in running a large corporation. you know, he knows what it takes to, or he knows that he has to make a profit to survive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the government, which doesn't have to make a profit.
Well, they do have to sort of make a profit, because at least he knows you don't spend more than you've got.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we've been doing for so long. And we've been, you know, that's why Obama was so panicky about getting this debt ceiling raised, because that's paying for stuff that he's already spent. Not what we're going to spend. That's paying for what we've already spent. That's why he had to get it done. Now we've got that done. Let's stop and not do it again. I mean, that's the real important thing, is not do it again. We've got to start. And the answer is not like what they're talking about during in Europe, because they're putting what they call a financial transaction act tax, financial transaction act tax, which means sales tax. Hello, that's all it means.
Oh yeah, I mean, they're also talking about overseas about adding a tax for every email you send.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know how you do that. That's
well, to do through the providers, but still, I mean, that gets back to my original point. At what point does the government become too expensive, and why should we have to pay a tax on every little thing that we do?
Well, that's the thing. We don't need to. But, you know, we can, I think we as a country, we can do this balancing thing. I think there are probably some countries in Europe that can't. They've gone to the point that they can't even do the balancing thing and make it work. They've got to do something about bringing in more cash first. And, of course, the problem is, as you know, once you put a tax on, very seldom does it ever come back off. It's there forever. And they have 17 European states or European countries that they're doing this. Actually, they want it for all 27 European members to do that. And that's what they're talking about right now. And that's what scares me, is if they're talking about that in Europe, we're going to be talking about it here. That's just all there is to it. That's why I'm all for doing this balanced budget thing. And Obama says, well, we could do that without having to do it as an amendment to the Constitution. I wanted this amendment to the Constitution. I wanted a law that we have to do that. If we don't have to do it, we won't. And so consequently, it's going to go right back to what it is. Even if we were very, very good and everybody was very, very conscientious and said we're going to do it now, and we did it now, and we do it for a couple of years, it's still going to slide back to right what we were. But if there's actually an amendment to our Constitution that says we have to do that, that's another story. And that's what we've got to do, in my opinion. There's no way around it.
Well, I hope that also that people will remember in 2012, not just the president, but everybody in the Congress and the House, I just hope that they'll remember this is what we got. Roll clip number two.
I love these members that get up and say, read the bill. What good is reading the bill if it's 1,000 pages and you don't have 2 days and two lawyers to find out what it means after you read the bill? I love these.
Stop. These are the people that we're paying to do that job, and they're not. And then they have the 2,000 page, like the Obamacare, where they sneak things in that, like Nancy Pelosi saying, well, we have to pass it to know what's in it. No, we don't, folks.
See, that's what Obama is trying to do. That's what he's trying to do, I think, with this 12-member group of people that he wants to try to control. He wants to get them to do something, and then he'll just quietly okay it if it goes along with what he has to say. But I don't think he couldn't do it with six. I don't think he's really going to be able to do it with 12 either. They're not going to come back with something that's going to please him. And of course, you know, he continues to talk about compromise. Well, again, it's becoming very apparent that to him, compromise means you come around to my way of thinking. And if you don't come around to my way of thinking, you're not compromising. He doesn't change his way. He doesn't change his ideas. But he expects everybody else to come around to his way of doing things. And that's wrong.
Agreed. And also, he's got to stop blaming people. Like I said on previous programs, I'm so tired of, well, the Republicans are going to do this, or the Republicans caused that, or whatever. I had to say it, guys. You guys are under the same roof.
Well, he's blaming the Republicans. He's blaming the House. He's really. You notice he always says Congress. It doesn't say the House of Representatives or the Senate. He says Congress. And in most instances, he means that small group of Republicans that disagrees with what he has to say. But he still blames all of Congress because they haven't come around to doing everything the way he wants it to be done. And that's his big thing. He blames. And I've watched very carefully, almost, I mean, daily, he's been coming out with little speeches and or big speeches or whatever. He's been talking on the television, and I've watched him very carefully. He's a very angry man, a very angry man. He just he blames everybody for what he's doing, and like it or not, it's not his fault. And that's not the case. He won't compromise. He won't do anything, and it's going to hurt us all in the long run.
Well, I still think that we should follow through Ray Stevens' advice in 2012 and just throw the bums out, because they definitely, from the president on down, you might say the true colors have finally come out to rise, where they can't be ignored anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we are going to throw the bums out in this particular case, absolutely. Again, the only thing that scares me is that we're going to throw all the bums out and we're going to get all of the other bums in. And when it's all one set of bums, so to speak, regardless of which set it is, I think that can be a problem. We've got to have some sort of group that has checks and balances so there can be compromise somewhere along the line. Because if we don't get any compromise, then we're not going to get anywhere. And this business of trying to pull 12 people out of 400 and some odd of people that are there and maybe convincing them to do what you want easier, I don't think that's going to be. I hope it's not going to be. And I also disagree that should be allowed to happen. We can have a committee, but they can only make suggestions. You can't pass anything with that committee. You've got to bring it out as soon as they come up with an idea or a suggestion, and then we've got to put it in front of the entire House and have it voted on. I assume that's what's going to happen. If not, I'm going to be really, really ticked off.
Yeah, we'll just create another czar.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's another thing. I mean, we've got these people who've put all this work together for the last 2 years. They've been trying to do something, and it hasn't worked. Why do we keep them? Why do we keep putting them in there? Why aren't we changing them and putting somebody else in who might be able to do something different? I mean, we stick with, the wrong ones all the time. That's, again, the old definition of insane.
Speaking of insane, how about a promo?
Okay.
Go for it.
646-721-9887. You may be wondering what that number is. That number could be much of anything, except...
What is the number, Cliff?
That is the number to call if you would like to talk to us. And please, do that. You must have an idea. Somebody must be out there who disagrees with what we're saying or agrees with what we're saying. I don't care what it is. If you disagree, we'd just as well love to have you on here, because we'd love to discuss. And maybe you've got an idea we don't know of, haven't discussed yet or covered yet. 646-721-9887. 646-721-9887. The other way to do it is to go to the chat room, because that doesn't cost any money. If you go to krbnradio.com, krbnradio.com, click on chat on the left-hand side of the page, it will bring up a chat room, and all you have to do is sign into that, and you don't have to give any information and it doesn't have to be legitimate information. You can sign in as Jane, no matter what your name is, and, well, you can only have one Jane, but whatever, and ask questions, and I'll be more than happy to answer questions. I'm looking at that page right now, and if you want to put in something and ask a question or make a statement, we'll be more than happy to talk about them. We also, where's the other? How do you get to the other chat room?
It's blogtalkradio.com/KRBN.
And so either place, if you want to ask a question or say something, do so, because we're more than happy to answer it or comment on it or address it. But I would rather have you call in and talk to us. 646-721-9887. That isn't that hard to remember. 646-721-9887. Say it real clear, real slow and real clear so that you can be sure and get it.
That's right. And also, if you happen to miss the live program, you can continue the conversation on our Facebook page, and including if you happen to see something in the news or something that you think should be discussed, also send us an email or join us on the Facebook page. So we're all over. If you are listening to us on the archives, again, welcome to the show, and thanks for tuning in.
And if you're listening to us on the archives and you get really incensed about something, email us. Email us, KRBN Radio, talk@krbnradio.com. talk@krbnradio.com. That's pretty easy to remember.
That's right. And while you're on Facebook, by the way, be sure to click the like button. Let us know that that you've been there and that you can follow the show that way as well. So we'll beg.
We'd like to be liked.
We do.
Okay, we've got somebody who just entered the chat room right now. They aren't saying anything yet, but we'll see what's going to go on.
Well, welcome to the chat room.
Yeah. So, but basically, we're, you know, getting back to this business about taxes, and I'm a little concerned about what's happening in the rest of the world, because the rest of the world is collapsing around us, more or less, and we're going to have to consider that. I think our currency, our dollar, is still probably the strongest thing going, as scary as that may be.
Yeah, but the way, well, like for example, S&P Dow grading is from the AAA to AA rating. I have not heard the update though on Moody's. Did they threaten to downgrade us? Have you heard if they?
Well, they haven't done it. We're still on the edge of everybody, and that's important. It does affect our interest rates and things like that. But who knows what it's going to do? But right now, the consideration is that they're downgrading all these other countries, and we're all, like it or not, this is not isolated countries anymore. We're all part of the world economy. And that's, I know everybody gets scared about this and everybody's worried about this, and it's hard to integrate into it. And but we are going to have to integrate into it. That's why we've got to consider what we're doing with our...
Well, that's why we also need to have people in office and our representatives that have... not only some experience, but are also, for lack of a better way to put it, more in touch with reality. I mean, like the old saying, I can't remember who it was that originally said it. It's like when the president in the morning, you know, he gets up, he looks out the window from the Oval Office, you know, he sees lush lawns, you know, everything pruned and everything just looks wonderful. But on the other side of the fence there's people that are sleeping in the streets, there's trash, there's, you know, all chaos. But from their point of view, everything is just hunky-dory, you know, you got the violins playing in the background.
Yeah, yeah. We have somebody named Calder in the chat room, as well as I see you just entered the chat room. But this Calder person, if you have a question or if you have a comment, put it in there, let us know, because I'm really, really concerned about what's going on. We'd like to hear from you. But basically, right now, we have got the concern about the election that's coming up in 2012. And, you know, I've been watching very closely. What is it? These debates. I missed the last debate. That's really upsetting, because I was going to watch it, and I sat right there and started and watched television instead.
What?
And missed it.
I mean, television was more important than the debate that affects our country.
No,
we talk about every week, and you went ahead and just watched television?
I just forgot. I forgot. I have this tendency to watch television, watch movies and things, so they don't have to watch commercials. And I know that's terrible, but that's there. Hi, Calder. But basically, I just got involved in watching a movie and went right through the debate and didn't realize it until it was over. So sad.
Yeah, boy, I don't know what we're going to do with you.
But I do. I really go in and would like to watch these debates because I'd like to see them. Because, you know, you can hear the people do these their speeches and their talks and on the campaign thing, but it's so much more easier when you can see them and watch their facial expressions and their movements and such things and responses to what somebody else is saying. I find that I learn a whole lot more when I can see that, and that's why I really like these debates. And I hope some people have been concerned that there's going to be so many debates. I hope they all participate in all of them because that's what I want to see. This whole world again is getting down to the point that we're all one world. This business of doing little these town hall meetings. I don't know if I'm real happy about those because they meet the needs of so few people at a time, and we could be spending that same amount of time on a national network and meeting the needs of so many more people, and I prefer that.
Well, the question I'd like to put out there regarding the debates, and this is what I guess is one reason why I don't really watch them too much, is because the questions that they ask aren't questions that I would be interested in. I mean, it's the same old BS, per se. You know, like every election, we're back to abortion. We're back to, what was the question that somebody asked?
Boxers or shorts?
Boxers or shorts. But Michelle Bachmann, you know, are you, if you are elected, would you still be subservient to your husband? You know, I mean, With all this stuff going on in the world, why are they asking such dumb questions?
Well, you know, that's true. And I know that's some of these hosts on these interviews and think they have to bring in some humor, and they think that's humor. I'm not sure why, but they think it is. And they think they need to bring in humor. I don't think we need to worry about humor. I'd rather see what's going on and see what people actually think instead of trying to put the humor in there at the same time. There's only so many minutes of time that you have. Why waste it on something like that?
I mean, it's like a USA pageant, you know. Beauty contest is, you expect the candidate to answer, I'd like to give everybody a puppy and wish for a world peace.
Yeah. Well, I'll take the puppy, but I don't know what your world peace is. So, actually, I don't know if I want the puppy even.
But it's along the same lines. I mean, these are serious. We're trying to pick between a candidate that's going to run the highest office, well, in the nation and probably in the world too. And they're asking such dumb questions. The other thing that annoys me too is that you get a candidate, especially back on the East Coast, you get a candidate you're really rooting for, and they come in, they go through one debate, drop out, or two or three debates, drop out. Or by the time over here on the West Coast that we even get a chance to have our say, we're down to the spoils.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things that I concern about, you're talking about dropping out, is the networks have this thing about who can be in the debate. I think everybody should be allowed in the debate, absolutely everybody, instead of this, you have to get so much of a percentage of a poll somewhere along the line in order to be there, because there have been some people that have been left out because they didn't have enough numbers in the polls. And, of course, the numbers in the polls are so widespread. I mean, we go from 28% down to like 9% in the third position. I mean, it's just amazing how that can be. But we got, you know, the thing we've got to do more than this, we've got to come up with a plan. Somehow or another, somebody's got to come up with a plan. And what is the first thing? I think probably the balanced budget would be the first thing on the plan. We've got to come up with a balanced budget before we can make any other thing. We've got to know how much money we have to spend before we can go anywhere else and do anything else. So I think probably the thing we've got to concern ourselves with right off the bat and before we go any further is a balanced budget. Whether it's an amendment, well, it needs to be an amendment. That's just all there is to it. It needs to be put in as an amendment. Somehow or another, we need to come up with an amendment. We need to, and that, of course, would put caps on how much money we can spend. And That's the thing we've got to do. Now, what to spend it on, where to spend it, and what to cut. The defense budget, everybody gets panicky about cutting the defense budget. That is not a defense budget, folks. We're not defending ourselves from anything. We're going out there and trying to take over the world. And that's not what we should be doing. We're not defending ourselves from anything. We could cut half of our defense budget and still defend ourselves quite nicely from anything that's going on. We aren't doing anything with our own borders, so half of our defense budget is not being spent to take care of us anyway. It's being taken care of other people. So I'm sorry, we're at a point where we got to think about ourselves, and like it or not, so we've got to put some restraints on our defense budget, because that's even if you just count what the government puts out there as defense. That's $600 and some odd billion, and of course that's not all that's being spent on defense, because there's a lot of things that are being spent on defense that are called something else. So that's the thing. And then the other thing that we've got to do is start there's things that we need to do right up front, and one of those is the alternate fuels. I mean, that's not far down on the list, because that's where a lot of our money is going. We're spending a lot of our money overseas for fuels, regardless of what it is. We can drill for oil in America and bring some of that home. We could also drill for natural gas in America. We're actually bringing natural gas in on tankers, and we have more natural gas under the ground in the United States than all other countries combined, from what I've heard. So we need to start taking advantage of that. Then of course we need to look into the renewable resources, the methanol, the ethanol. Ethanol I don't think we want to look into anymore, because that's taking food out of our mouth. But methanol can be used anywhere ethanol can be used, and it can be made from a lot more things than ethanol. And so we need to go into methanol. Algae, I don't know that that's. I think the problem with algae, as I've looked into it further and further, is that I discovered that it's too expensive to produce. I thought it was fairly reasonable, but it seems to be too expensive to produce. We've lost our Calder, the guy in the person, I don't know if it was a guy or not, in the chat room. Too bad you didn't ask a question.
Well, one thing I will say, though, and I'm going to get back onto the president and stuff, is that Until we get a system in place where we can make them more accountable. I mean, like Obama, I'm tired of his sound bites. It's just like he's going with whatever flow there is today. But yet, on the other hand, just like with the Obamacare, if that would have gone through, and if they're successful in overturning the 11th Circuit Court's opinion, the amount that extra that's going to cost businesses, is going to cost the individuals, is going to bankrupt America. And when you're talking about balancing the budget, it's just like we are the employers. But it's like the employees coming up to the employers and saying, I want more money out of you, and you have no choice but to give it to me. Well, there comes to a point where there is no more money based on the money coming in versus the money going out. And that when it gets to that point, then the employer has to kind of say, well, we're just going to have to close it down. We're not making a profit. We can't afford to exist.
Of course, you can't close down the United States. So there has got to be another way around it. So you've got to make budget cuts. You simply have to make budget cuts. That's just all there is to it. There's no answer to it other than that. We need to be paying more attention to what's happening in Greece. I mean, Greece is going through this right now. Greece actually went to the point where you just have to shut it down. But, of course, you can't just shut down a whole country. You simply can't do that. People are still there. People are still – businesses are still there, like it or not. And so you've simply got to do something about it. So we need to look back on further into what's going on in Greece. Now, in our case, I think the big difference is the fact that we can actually make enough cuts in what we're spending to equalize things out. Greece had gone so far, they had spent so much money already that they could never make up for it. And so they have to actually literally, from what I understand, they were making promises to as far as retirement money and such things, they were making promises that they simply couldn't keep. So they had to default on some of that stuff. And so there's going to be, you know, possibly some defaulting on things in the United States. So who knows what it's going to be? But the difficulty comes as to decide who is going to decide what to default on or what not to spend on. And that's why we have such a – that's why our way of government is set up with all these, you know, checks and balances, is that we can make a decision like that and do it logically. But taking 12 people out of 500 to make the decision is not it. That's why we had this system set up in the first place. We've got a constitution. Let's start living by it. Granted, I think we should amend it by putting in a balanced budget amendment, but we've got the Constitution. Let's live by it for a change instead of trying to live around it or trying to find ways around it. And that's what we've been doing all these years, is trying to find loopholes and ways around our Constitution instead of trying to live with it. A lot of people spend a lot of time working on that, I think.
Well, maybe we should also, because a lot of the laws, and a lot of people don't know this, a lot of the laws that the White House passes or Congress passes do not apply to them. Maybe we should change that if we're going to make any changes in the Constitution. Maybe we should also change it so that, as you pointed out many times, for one, it's not a career position. Two, we'll provide them with free housing up there while they're up there, so they don't have to have residences in two different areas. We'll give them the medium wage salary. In other words, we'll bring them back down into the financial area where the majority of their representatives are the majority of their constituents are. So it puts them back into reality. You know, if you're, like I've said many times before, if I'm making $100,000 a year and I've been doing that for the last 20 years, I can't relate to somebody making $20,000 a year. Because if I want to go out to eat, I can afford to do it without having to think twice about it, where the $20,000 person a year has to watch every penny just to be able to make it to the next month. So bring them back down to a more realistic salary, cut out some of the little perks that they do, you know, like the $20,000 or however much the speeches are that they go out and make. And while you're in office, just like any other job, you have the restrictions that are placed forward to you while you're in that job of what you can and can't do.
Yeah, this having another job while you're in that job is that's what's going on an awful lot with these people, and they're making huge amounts of money, like you say, speaking tours and things like that, and they're doing it while we're paying them. So that's the thing that's got to stop as well.
And then they're not doing their jobs.
Pardon?
And then they're not doing their jobs.
Exactly. That's the problem. See, when they're out doing other jobs and making money, they're not doing the job that we've hired them to do. And that's where we've got a problem. We've got to get them in there as a single term, and maybe we need to change it to a 6-year term instead of 4. I don't know. That's not too bad either. That could be happening. But the point being, a single term. I really think that's a very important thing to do in order to eliminate this business of having to raise money all the time. And then again, we've got to... This campaign financing, I haven't got an answer for that. I'm still looking and coming up with – I've got lots of ideas, but coming up with an answer for campaign financing that doesn't put the burden on the broadcasters is a little hard to do. But that's the only thing I've come up with, is that broadcasters need to give the time for national campaigning.
Okay. How about we look at it this way? When they're campaigning, they're in a sense – interviewing for a job.
Right.
We start making them treat it like a job. You have to show up when you're supposed to show up. If you don't show up, just like a regular job. Where I'm working now, if I don't show up for 3 days in a row, it's considered an automatic quit.
Right.
I'm required to spend so many hours there. I'm required to, you know, perform. These guys aren't. I mean, how many times have you gone to C-SPAN and you see one or two people in the whole room where they're actually reading the bills?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true.
Like earlier, you know, why read the bill? Well, because it's your job. If you don't want to do the job, quit. But don't take our money. Don't. I'm so upset. I'm getting tongue tied here.
Right, campaign finance reform. That's the name of the game. Is we've got to do something about that. And I've sat down and thought about that. I'm gonna write down some of my notes. I don't usually write down my notes. I sit there and think about them while I'm watching a speech or some sort of a campaign rally or something on television. I come up with ideas and then I think them out a little more and I think, well, they're not going to do. But I haven't gone to the point of writing everything down and trying to make it fit and make it work. And I'm getting closer and closer. But the point is we've got to come up with a logical progression of what we've got to do to make our financial thing work in this country. And that's one of the biggest concerns we have right at the moment is the finances, because this is not just affecting the big money that the government is spending, but it's affecting taxes that we are spending as small people, if you want to call us that. The everyday citizen is paying higher taxes. It's harder and harder to buy a home nowadays because the bankers have screwed that up so bad that granted the homes are cheaper, they've lost their value, but it's harder to get a hold of one of them, and we've got huge numbers of homes sitting out there that now again the banks are having to do something with. They're stuck with them. And I have one right next door to me. The banks are not doing a good job of keeping them up. They don't mow the lawn. They don't take care of things. It's a blight in the neighborhood as well as at this particular point. It could be a possibility of a fire because all of this grasses and things have grown up and gotten brown and would be going up in flame very easily and very quickly. So there's lots of concerns. We actually, as neighbors, have to take care of the house next door because the bank won't do it. And yet we're not going to make any money when they sell the house, and we're not going to get paid back. But we have to do it to protect ourselves. And not only that, but the house itself is getting run down. It's looking bad. And you know, this is all affecting us as individuals and as citizens. So we've got to have a say-so in what's going on. So I think possibly in 2012, when you have this election, you're going to be really, really surprised at how many people are going to be changed. And we're going to end up looking at, I'm afraid, a Republican House and a Republican Senate and probably a Republican president. And unfortunately, we sat here with Democrats in all three positions and accomplished virtually nothing for a matter of a couple of years, 2 or 3 years. And our 2.5 years or whatever it was. And we can't do the same thing once we go to all the Republicans. Somebody's got to change something and actually accomplish something somewhere. I mean, how long has it been since we actually passed a budget? We haven't done that. And somebody's got to get financially responsible or fiscally responsible or whatever you want to call it. Somebody's got to do something.
Well, it wasn't until recently, because of the pressure from the people, that they even felt the need to pass a budget.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, because we just gave, by not passing a budget, they just did these CRs, continuing resolutions, and gave the president full reign and free reign of whatever he wanted to do. And that's just, we can't do that, especially when we discovered this president is a spendthrift. I mean, he's out there, you know, his whole idea is mall walking and shopping and, you know, that's, we just can't have that going on. We've got to have some sort of a limitation. He spent the entire first 2 years of his office doing things to us, not for us. And consequently, that's a bad thing. We've got to change that. We've got to start paying more attention. A lot of this has to do with us as citizens. We are so fat and happy for so long and paying no attention, and everything was going along fine. You know, we'd gripe about this, gripe about that, but nothing was really happening. But now things are happening. Our taxes are going up. Our houses are going down. I mean, people have lost huge amount of money in the stock market. I mean, big, just not just huge stock market people, but just everyday 401 people have lost almost their entire savings. And so and it looks like it's going to happen again. So everybody needs to be very, very careful about what's going to happen.
When we put the people in office, it's just like taking your taxes to a CPA. You're not an expert in taxes. You hired the CPA to do the job for you, and you're hoping that this, he's educated enough to be able to do the job. Well, that's the same thing with the government. I don't know how to run a government, I'll be honest. I'm too worried about going to work every day and trying to make enough money so I can feed my family and we're not living on the streets.
Well, the important part of it is we as citizens, this is it's if you want to get technical about it, ready or not, this is our fault because we didn't pay attention to who we were electing. We went and elected him for all the wrong reasons. The man he thinks he's a rock star. He went and spoke in certain places and got huge numbers of people to see what he was doing and listen to him talk. Then the thing that got to me and that they brought it home to me was he went to Europe. When he went overseas and got huge numbers of people to watch him and to see what he was doing over there, that had nothing to do with him. That just had to do with the fact that he was an American, was running for president, and that didn't very often happen. But he thought that was him being very smart and very, very talented, but it wasn't. I mean, he's so misled about why these huge numbers of people were watching him. But unfortunately, they put him in office, and so now he's totally lost. He is totally unprepared for what he has to do. He doesn't know what to do, and he's being led in all kinds of different directions and doesn't have a true direct sense of direction as to what to do and why, when. And so we're the ones now that are suffering for this. Now, technically speaking, if you want to get right down to it, it's our own fault. We are the ones who did this to ourselves. But now, hello, we've got to fix it. So we've got to get on this ball and pay attention this time. And we've got an election coming up in a couple of years. And we've got to pay attention and do it right this time and put somebody in there who has some intelligence instead of just somebody who has a skin color or who looks pretty
don't pay attention to the sound bites.
Right, right. He didn't even have good sound bites, I don't think. I mean, plus the fact we got to pay attention and put somebody in there who is who has a record, a past of doing what he says, not just saying what he wants to put out there and just ignoring it. When you got to have somebody with a record. This man hadn't done anything.
Exactly, and I don't want somebody to, when they do the debates, I don't want to hear bashing of the other person. Even though they may bash you, I want somebody to just kind of go, just ignore the bashing, answer the questions the best you can, be upfront and honest. Don't do the snowball. Well, we need jobs, and I have this 11-point plan to get us jobs and everything. Okay, fine. What's your plan?
Well, if they actually have a plan, I would like to see it. And all of the things you just talked about means that we're going to have Ron Paul as our next president. He's the only one who doesn't bash everybody. He's the one who has a plan. He has it written down. You can go look at it if you want to on all of his instances of plans. I mean, he's the one who knows what he's talking about. And yet the Republicans insist on just counting him out, which is just stupid in my opinion.
Well, I guess we'll find out because, 2012 is coming up and it's going to be an interesting show. I just hope that, please, especially Oregon, I'm so disappointed in the 2010 elections about what Oregon did. They just went in and went, okay, who's doing it now? This name looks familiar. Click.
Well, in so many instances, you're right. We've had our representatives and our senators have been very good. They've been there a long time, and they've been very, most of them, mostly honest. But I'm not too sure, but what they aren't kind of letting down. They're sitting back and saying they've been in there so long, they're better than we are. And that's the thing that's got to change. We are.
Well, how many times have there's in Oregon put something on the ballot, got it passed, and had to vote on it again because they said, well, obviously people didn't vote on.
I don't know. It's up to us as citizens, and it's up to us as the voting public to start paying attention. Start paying attention. I do this all the time. I watch CNN. I watch Fox News, and I watch them constantly. And I will have to admit that this Ron Paul thing I keep bugging everybody about, both of those networks have given Ron Paul quite a long interview and have talked to him more now than they have for years. And, of course, that's good because he came in second in the straw poll. Who knows who's going to pay next? The only thing wrong with the straw poll is that they allowed you to pay people to come and vote for you. I mean, they encouraged it. There is a fee to vote. There was a $30 fee, and they allowed people to pay you as constituents to get on the bus and come up here. And so the people, and it shows, because Mitt Romney, who had all the numbers going into this thing, didn't pay anybody. He didn't spend any money. And he came out with a 3.4%. He came out seventh out of a group of the 11 that I saw there. There were a couple of people in there I'd never heard of before. There are people running for president as Republicans. Have you ever heard of Thaddeus McCotter?
Nope.
Neither had I. Until the other day I saw him on television. They were doing an interview with him, and I'm going, who? But he got 0.2%. He got 35 votes.
Well, I've seen somebody, I don't recall the name, somebody from Eugene running for president besides me.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, I don't remember the guy's name. But speaking of running, we have less than 7 minutes in the program. You can still get a phone call in, 646-721-9887, and let us know who you'd like to vote for or just anything else you'd like to add to the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. We love to hear from people, and we love taking phone calls.
At the last minute, we're more than happy to go at you, but we'd like to hear that. Next week, we'll be coming back again. It's going to be interesting because Robin is changing things around. She's, who knows what's going to be happening in her life and whether she's going to be able to be here next week or not. It may be just me, and then I'll see if I can get a hold of Bradley and get him in here. We haven't had him in for a couple of weeks. We know why Cindy isn't here. She's got a job working for Muscular Dystrophy, and that's all well and good because I love the Muscular Dystrophy organization. I've worked with them before, and they are really, really great people and do super, super, super things.
Yeah, we can even get them on the show.
Yeah, really. But
this will be a telethon right from here for 90 minutes.
Well, Muscular Dystrophy, you know, I will have to admit the thing about charitable organizations is some of them you spend so much money making the money that it's not hardly worth your time. But Muscular Dystrophy has a really, really good record of keeping their fundraising costs really low. And I think it's below 20%, something like that. It's a little higher than I would like, than you in some instances would like it to be, but it's extremely low as compared. There are some fundraisers that where they spend as much as 70 and 80% to get 10 or 20% of the thing. But Muscular Dystrophy has been very, very good. Jerry Lewis specifically has been really adamant about the fact that they can't spend very much money to make money, but they do hire people. And in this particular case, they hired Cindy to do some work for them, and she's doing that now. So we'll get her back, I assume, when she's through with that. But more power to her. I'm all for it. I think it's great. I have spent a lot of time working for Muscular Dystrophy. I've donated a lot of my time and a lot of, well, in money, time and money, money and time, let's put it that way, because I'm poor. I've never had much money to donate all, but I have been able to donate a lot of time working for them and doing dances and things like that. So
you dance?
I used to. I can't now.
So you get paid for doing dances?
Yes, I did. I did. Only I have a mobile sound system company.
Oh, you were providing the sound for people to dance for.
Yeah.
They weren't paying you to actually get up there and dance.
Well, that's not what they were paying me for, although I had a tendency once in a while to do it, like it or not. But yes, they paid us to supply the music for dances in different places and all over Washington and parts of Oregon that we did that mostly. Well, I was going to say mostly for high schools, but that's not true. We did a lot of adult dances as well. One of the very first dances we did was what they called a pajama ball. And believe me, if you think about people dancing in their pajamas, that can be really interesting and really entertaining.
There's a visual I didn't need. Thank you.
Really. That was one of the very first dances that I ever did and got that sort of initiation into Muscular Dystrophy Association. I'm going, what? Help. But they had a lot of fun. They had a lot of fun. We had a huge amount of fun and raised a lot of money doing that because, we did.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too far into that because that gets scary. But it was fun.
Yeah, I'm already going to have enough trouble getting that vision out of my head. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and it's exactly what you're thinking, too. The kind of things that flopped out. But,
but anyways, next week's show, folks, will be the same time, 10 a.m. Pacific time. Like Cliff said, I will not be here next week because I have other changes going on, other engagements, and we may be making some plans, change in the future.
So write that down, by the way, 10 o'clock next week, and write down the telephone number, 646-721-9887, because I'm going to need you to call, because it's going to be just you and me, folks.
That's right. And I'm going to give this one blind to Cliff, because we haven't talked about this on the show, but if you would like to join Cliff and be a co-host for a day, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, and we'll talk it over, and if everything looks good, then come in and help Cliff out. What do you think, Cliff?
You can do that with Skype, or you can do it on the phone, either one.
Either way. But we'd love to have you. And of course, we want you to send us an email or join us on Facebook anyways, where you can continue the conversation that we had on the show. And again, with the last about a little over a minute remaining, I want to just take a moment and thank everybody for listening to us on the archives and the people who are listening to us live and who have tuned in to the chat room. We're coming up on, I believe, next month and a month after. We're coming pretty close up to our two-year anniversary and doing the show.
Yeah. My God, so, that has really sneaked by, hasn't it?
Yeah, so I want to thank everybody that's helped to make the show what it is. And again, click on the like button on Facebook, and it's your input that keeps us going, keeps us doing this. So, and we really do appreciate it.
Send us an email, giving us an idea of what you want to talk about. If there's something, because we keep on the same subject all the time, it seems, because that's what the whole world seems to be talking about. But if there's something that you want to talk about or something you want to consider, let us know. We'd be more than happy to go along with you.
And it doesn't have to be just about Oregon. It can be nationwide or whatever. In our pre-show meetings, I term it as whatever makes smoke comes out of my ears.
It's got to be something that turns you on and upsets your apple cart, and we'll be more than happy to go along with you and do more upsetting.
So until next week, we'll see you again, 10 a.m. Pacific time. Tune in.
Have a good one.
Bye.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.